We're up to 1 Peter chapter 5, as has already been read to us. And I'm interested to read again the very first verse of the 1 Peter, and it says, "To the church scattered." Now, let's face it, we all relate to that. You're all scattered all over the place here, and there are people in Victoria and New South Wales who are scattered also, that are probably listening to my voice and listening to us today. So we really are the church scattered. And as a result of that, of course, what Peter has to say and what he did have to say to the church scattered in different places is also very relevant to us here today in Hobart. So with that attitude, listen up. About 13 years ago, I visited a couple of the places that that Peter refers to, Galatia and Cappadocia, both now part of Turkey, modern-day Turkey. And I particularly remember Cappadocia because it's a very barren part of the countryside, and the hillsides are made up of quite soft sandstone. And out of those hillsides were carved caves, and people lived in them. And also, not only that, but they carved out bigger rooms, and that's where some of the churches met, because if you go there you'll see paintings on the wall of these caves which indicated that some of the churches, the small churches probably in Cappadocia, worshipped in those caves. So you see where it was sent to has some relativity to me, because I can focus on in my mind on those places in Cappadocia. Our subject is leaders and followers. So please listen up. At various stages in your life, I suggest you'll be both of those, perhaps one at a time, but either a leader or a follower. And it's relevant that Paul mentions right up front, "I also am an elder." And perhaps, to be fair, I should mention my credentials. At least some of my credentials. Because when Louise and I came from Devonport 33 years ago, I was an elder at the church in Devonport. And I've also for some years been an elder at Murray Street and here at Hope. So I have a great understanding of the importance and the value of leadership. I've also been a member of about 12 different either management groups or church groups, committees or whatever, so I've had again some knowledge of the value of good leadership and the need to be followers as well. In the Old Testament, kings and queens were noted for what they did. As leaders, they were responsible to lead their country, the Judah or Israel or whatever. And recently I read some novels that were based on the life of some of the kings. And one in particular was Hezekiah. Hezekiah was noted for being an admirable leader. And he led Judah for many years in ways that God wanted him to lead. And the people responded and followed Hezekiah as a great leader. His son, however, who was Manasseh, who became king as quite a young man, did the opposite. He turned aside from following God's ways, and he taught the people, and the people followed him, and they followed pagan gods. In fact, he sacrificed his own son to a pagan god. See the difference between a good leader and a poor leader? Hezekiah and Manasseh is a perfect example of that. Leadership is vital in church activities as we are involved. And it requires commitment and a sense of importance in developing positive attitudes, so that other people can step up and follow their ways. And we'll read about that too as we go through. Often elders and leaders are seen as older men, and some tend to see this as a lifetime role, but I don't believe that it is. The true measurement of a leader or an elder is maturity. I, like lots of others, would look up Google if I wanted to find something that's on the internet, and I got one of the best descriptions of an elder from Google. Now, I know, don't get me wrong, I still value what the scriptures say, and these are based on that, but this particular summary said this: elders are the designated leaders of the church, and the flock is entrusted to them by God. They are not to lead for the pay or reward because of their desire to serve and shepherd the flock. Eldership is shown as important in several places in the New Testament, and various experiences attest to that fact, and they're mentioned by Paul and Peter here in various situations. And I don't wish to go into any other great detail of other passages, but briefly, in 1 Titus 1, they are to be regarded as blameless, disciplined, and as an encourager. In Timothy 5:17, perhaps as worthy of double honour, or as a teacher. In Acts chapter 20, when Paul farewelled the elders at Ephesus, he spoke very highly of them. Now, please, listen up. If you're not an elder, and you don't think you'll ever be an elder, don't fold your arms and turn your ears off, because I believe that every Christian activity requires the same characteristics that I'm going to refer to this morning. Every Christian ministry requires the same characteristics that I'm going to refer to. And the first one is to be a shepherd. Peter tells the elders that they are to shepherd the flock. Now, I've got a feeling that Peter knew quite a bit about sheep, because he mentions shepherds and sheep several times. He also would have been conscious of the fact that Jesus said to him after the resurrection, "Peter, feed my sheep. Peter, feed my lambs." And he wasn't referring to his physical flock, because I don't think Peter was a farmer, because he was a fisherman, wasn't he? Is that right? Nod your head if you know. Okay. Yeah, so, but Peter may have known more about sheep than even me. Now, that's hard to believe. I was raised as a farmer, and for the first 7 years of our married life, Louise and I lived on a farm, on the family farm, but we had nothing to do with sheep. So my knowledge of sheep is zero. But I do know from these passages that Peter wants elders and leaders to shepherd the flock. You can relate to that as you think about a shepherd or a farmer looking after a flock of sheep. They need to be cared for. They need to be protected. They need to make sure that they're safe. They need to encourage growth, whether it's for wool, or whether it's for meat. A shepherd needs to encourage his flock to grow. He also needs to encourage and make sure they reproduce. They're productive. And while those suggestions are referred to sheep, it's similar in Christian sense. The elder, the leader, is responsible for those around him in the flock. And so it's important that be the case. The next point I wish to focus on is there needs to be willingness. Willingness. In any Christian service, there needs to be willingness. When I was first approached about being an elder in both locations, I declined. No, that's not for me, and I think, looking back, there were excuses, not reasons. I declined. Might have said that, well, I'm too busy, or I've got a family to look after, or I'm not mature enough, which was probably right, and or any number of reasons, but I made excuses when I was first approached about it. But as time went on, I humbly can say that the Lord gave me encouragement, and I did agree to become an elder, and with all the responsibilities that goes with that. So willingness is very important. There is no place for conscription. No one is going to grab you by the arm and twist your arm up your back to do certain things. In any area of Christian service, there should be willingness. And as you know, every Christian service in this location, there needs to be willingness. If you look at the prayer directory, the last prayer directory we have, there were 30 different areas of responsibility listed where individuals were responsible for those particular areas. So you see, nearly everyone in the church has a willingness to serve, or should have a willingness to serve, because what we do in Christian circles and Christian life is for our Lord Jesus Christ. So willingness is a very key component. There is no subscription. And then we're not required to do things for personal gain. If you're in Christian leadership for the money, you're in the wrong position. If you're in it for the money, you're in the wrong position. Not greedy for money, not greedy for personal gain. It must be done willingly. There are lots of management methods, of course, these days, and some management styles are by bullying. People are coerced to do certain things or whatever. I had a management style which was, and I say this humbly, which tended to encourage people, to work with people. And I think maybe that should be the case. There should be a willingness to serve in Christian circles, not greedy for money, not by a dominating attitude, not by lording it over others. The Living Bible, for instance, says, don't be tyrants. Don't be tyrants, but lead others by your good example. And I think you'll find that being an example is an important component of any area of Christian service. I regularly walk along the beach at Blackmans Bay, and you should do it too, because it's a lovely spot, really is. And the other day, there was hundreds of seabirds on the beach. And I felt extremely powerful, because as I walked through them, they scattered. I had the beach, I was in charge. And all of these seabirds scattered. Some went up the beach further, some went out to sea, some flew away, but I felt extremely important. But I had a little lesson from nature. And let me continue. What I did influenced the situation around me. What I did influenced the situation around me. And that's not a bad Christian principle, is it? If you're going to be, and you should be, an example to other people, it will influence, what you do will influence what other people do around you. So be examples, an obvious statement, but yet one that is imperative for any leader. Anyone is a leader, good or bad, positive or negative, depending on what sort of example is displayed. Next one is what I would like to refer to as humble, to be humble, to exercise humility. It's interesting that as we go through, we'll refer to responsibility of the next generation. They also require humility. But right now, it's referring to leadership and to elders. They need to be humble. Exercise humility. It's the opposite to pride. It's the opposite to being proud and egoistical. We all have a bit of an ego, let's face it. We all appreciate what if people say nice things about us. But when it becomes dominating in our life, it's incorrect, because humility, being humble, is extremely important. But note also that the elders are going to get benefit from what was read to us. The chief shepherd is going to recognise what we do, and we're going to be rewarded accordingly. I've coined the phrase, the benefits are out of this world. You don't see all the things that are happening right now in your role as leadership, but when the chief shepherd appears, we're going to be acknowledged. Then the chapter goes on. The chapter goes on and it talks about the next generation. It refers to the word younger men. And of course, that relates also to younger people. Let me say this. This is not specifically to men only. It's not a gender thing. I think it's more generic. And all of us can fit into this situation if we want to be followers of those who would lead us. And I've coined the phrase respectful. Young men, be respectful to elders. If you look at the various translations of the scriptures, you'll find that there are various meanings for this particular word that's shared as submissive. It says either defer or to follow or to submit or be subject to. Any of those words relate to what the younger generation, how the younger generation should respect the elders who are their leaders. Not, and regrettably, some younger persons, and I've seen this and perhaps being one myself, not being a know-all. You know what a know-all is? Someone who knows everything. That's disrespectful and not the right attitude. Followers are important. Followers are important. In business circles, are sometimes called succession planning. Succession planning. Or generational change. Any one of those terms could be used because followers, as the name implies, are required to take up the responsibilities of older persons. If I may humbly tell you an experience I had at Devonport before we left 33 years ago. I had a concern that the eldership was all getting quite old, and much older, and that some of the young men weren't stepping up to take on the roles that they should be. So I personally invited quite a few of them to meet with me, and I shared my concern. If I was a football coach, it would have been a pep talk. But just generally stated that elders don't last forever. Leaders don't last forever. There needed to be younger men stepping up to take some of the responsibilities. I'm not sure whether that had any effect, but at least I felt good about it. I felt good about it because I felt that's what the Lord wanted me to do. But if you go back to that church today, and again, I'm not sure whether this had any, my contact had any result, but one young man is the pastor there. Another young man is chairman of the elders. Several others were involved in the church plant in another suburb. At least two are leaders in different churches here in Hobart. So the philosophy of young men following older men is imperative. And I was blessed to be involved in just perhaps making people think. Because the next generation is important. As I said, it's either succession planning, generational change, being followers, call it what you like. Humility comes up again. Being humble. And if you notice the verse there, it refers to clothe yourself with humility. Clothe yourself with humility. It seems pretty important, humility. I'm so proud, I'm humble. No, that's not right. I'm so humble, I'm proud. That's right. Get it right. But we need to show humility. And the fact that it mentions there, clothe yourself with humility, is meaningful. And as I listened to someone explain this on YouTube just this week, the person said, when we are clothed in humility, when we are clothed with anything, it covers up everything else that we've got on. You have pajamas on underneath, if you like, but if you clothe yourself with a garment, it covers up what's underneath. So humility is very, very important. It covers up our pride, it covers up our lack of ability in other areas. But humility, to be clothed with humility, is very important. We're not to be over anxious. Not to be over anxious. Do not let anxiety control you. Evidence shows that this can be a natural result of any Christian or service activity. It's right, it's stressful. Even serving the Master, our Lord Jesus Christ, can still be stressful. It can provide us with nervousness and sleepless nights and family situations. But the remedy is to cast your care upon Him. Cast your care upon the Lord, because He knows all about our situation. Again, there's another verse which you'll recognise, another characteristic, and that's self-control. We can understand the need for self-control, can't we? You don't need to nod your head, because I know that most of us would at least understand what that means. Whether we have an anger problem, whether we're subject to temptations, whether we're quick to speak and say the wrong word, whether we want to be bossy in teamwork, there is a need to be self-controlled. Not the opposite to that, of course. But it goes on, and Peter relates this very well, because he says, the devil is like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And I'd be surprised if we can't all relate to the fact that the devil, like a roaring lion, wants to detract from our Christian witness. He knows, I suggest, he knows our weak spots. And he's there wanting to distract from our Christian witness. Just as Peter referred to the flock being, the elders being required to look after the flock, a shepherd is required to keep an eye on what goes on. And one of the things that probably were of danger to the flock was the lion, who was a predator and was always available to do cause damage. So we need to be aware, we need to be self-controlled, we need to be sober-minded, because it's a very basic quality. Then there's a little word, alert. You're right, it is only a little word, but because we know that the devil is aware of us and wanting to, like a roaring lion, do damage to us, we need to be alert. Resistance is necessary. Why? Because he knows all about us, the devil, and we need to rely on the Lord Jesus Christ and the presence of the Holy Spirit as a protection against him as a predator. I think this also relates to other areas of the Christian church too. And while I'm going off at a bit of a tangent now, we need to be alert in our Christian family. There may be people missing. There may be people who are not quite as on top of things as they usually are. We are encouraged these days by the media to ask, "Are you okay?" And I suggest it may be in Christian circles we need to be alert to the needs of other people. So as well as resisting the devil, we need to be also alert in lots of situations. We have a granddaughter, Louise and I, that's 21 years old, and she goes to a big church in Geelong. She's in a fourth year university. And just recently we heard her preach on YouTube. And it was amazing. And she's preached on vulnerability. And if you know what the word vulnerability means, it means that we're subject to the wiles of other influences. We're certainly so vulnerable to the devil. But she highlighted the fact from 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10, "When I am weak, then I am strong." Paul says, "My strength is made perfect in weakness." When we know the wiles of the devil, when we know the potential of doing the wrong thing, we are much stronger to overcome that and resist that. So strength in vulnerability was quite a good message from our granddaughter. We were very proud, actually, too, to hear her say those things. So all of these characters. How are we going, Jason? Am I down to another one yet? Yeah, we've got to stand firm. That's right. There's one more. Stand firm. Why? Because as followers, other people are taking notice of what we are doing. So we need to stand firm and present the example to other people. As leaders, as elders, we need to stand firm because that's what we were instructed to do. Stand firm in the faith because others need to be encouraged by us, by you. Each week I get a publication, an email from called Monday Manor. It comes from an organisation, Christian Businessmen's Committee, which I was a member of for many years. And it comes from America every week. And Monday Manor is very helpful. And I want to just highlight just one quote from this Monday Manor last week. Be more concerned with your character than with your reputation, because your character is what you really are, while your reputation is merely what others think you are. Not bad, is it? That's a nice quotation. Be more concerned with your character than with your reputation, because your character is what you really are, while your reputation is merely what others think you are. And it goes on to say, and it highlights the verse taken from 1 Samuel, the Lord does not look on things man looks at. Man looks on outward appearances, but the Lord looks on the heart. So in all of these areas of being followers and being leaders, we need to be aware that God is aware of our strengths. He's aware of our weaknesses. The devil also is aware of our weaknesses and is seeking to devour, as the scriptures say. But these are practical words I think you'll all relate to. To the end of the chapter, there's just some farewell comments made, as in most epistles. And Peter's no different to anyone else. In our house, we have two boxes of letters. That won't surprise you. One written by me, one written by Louise. And each of them, there's an affectionate ending to those letters. This happens in nearly all the epistles too. Peter has a very strong understanding of the value and appreciation for his fellow workers and his friends. So let's be aware that that should be the attitude we should adopt in our church circle, in our circle of friends. We should be appreciative and speak and relate with some affection, even though we may have to change our attitudes and touch everyone with our elbow instead of hugging them these days. It's a sign of affection, and we should need to be aware of that. So let me just highlight right at the end again, all of the responsibilities we have as followers and as leaders, we're all involved in that in lots of Christian areas. But keep in mind that the benefits are out of this world. Thank you.